Warming temps and heavy rains can spell trouble for your home. Don't wait for a problem. Get a free foundation inspection from PermaSeal. Stay dry, stay protected. For peace of mind, call 800-421-SEAL or visit permaseal.net.
Colin McShane's the anchor over at News Nation. He joins us Friday mornings, and then he does News Nation anchoring from 2 to 5 on Comcast 223. DirecTV 307, Dish 207. Hey, Connell, welcome back.
Hey, good to see you or talk to you. I'm just, I got to wake up this morning. Good to talk to you, John. It's the radio. Come on.
Yeah, have you ever seen me? I see you on TV every day.
No, I imagine you, though. No, I'm just kidding. My wife used to say that when I was on the radio, and she knows who I am, and she'd be like, I always imagine you being fat and bald. I'm like, why? You know? But she's like, no, I don't know, because you're on the radio. Well, when she used to listen. So I was like, oh, great.
The kindest backhanded compliment I get is from people who, when they do first meet me, will go, oh, you're not bad looking.
Right, not as bad as I thought.
I know, and I thought, well, what did I sound like? This is not good.
I know.
For years, you know, I started out as a disc jockey briefly. I've pretty much always been doing talk radio, but for a while I was doing a little bit of disc jockey work in my career, and I had cut out a New Yorker cartoon, which is a little boy sitting at the kitchen table. He's got milk and cookies. His mom is consoling him, and the caption from the mother is, I know how I felt when I saw my first disc jockey, too. Department of Education, talk to me about that. What's going to happen here?
Well, the president moved yesterday to begin the process of dismantling the Federal Department of Education, basically instructing his own education secretary to take that on, saying he hopes Linda McMahon will be the last Secretary of Education we ever have. Now, a couple of things here. Number one, I think, as you know, he can't do that unilaterally. So the department can't be dismantled unless Congress were to vote to dismantle it.
Both houses, yeah.
Right. The Congress created it in 1979. Okay, so what's going to happen? They're going to try to, quote-unquote, gut it as much as possible. But I do think that, for perspective here, it's still not clear that we'll see huge changes. We might, but I don't think that, you know, for example, what the Republicans and Trump have been saying, and Republicans, many have, conservatives, I guess a better way of putting it, have been saying this literally since 1979, is that you have to return more of the education in this country to the states. The problem with that argument is that we already control most of the education policy
right.
in this country locally.
Right.
I mean, it's about 90-10 on average. It really is. I mean, and the places where it's higher.
What do you mean 90-10? What do you mean 90-10?
In other words, like, you know, the state and local money makes up on average about 10% of what we spend on education. And I should say the federal money makes up about 10% of what we spend on education. And the state and local money is usually around 90. Now, it's a little bit lower than that. You know, in other words, 80-20 or so in some of the red states. So they might be the ones that lose out if we have less federal money involved. And the other thing Trump said yesterday that I think is important is that the programs, like if you bring on, like I have Arne Duncan on a lot, it was Obama's education secretary, say, well, what would happen if they cut the department? He said, well, the main problem would be things like Title I schools for low-income
yeah.
students, special
yeah.
ed funding, civil rights issues. Trump claims that most those programs, he wasn't very specific, but he did mention Title I, he mentioned Pell Grants. Those are going to stay in place. So if those are going to stay in place and they're just, you know, trying to cut some bureaucracy in the federal department, it may not be as big of a deal as some people think, especially people on the left, and it may just be a political move to people on the right who have wanted to get rid of this department since it came in. We'll see. But, I mean, there's some room to go here before we see what actually is implemented. He just signed the executive order to get it started.
I think that's an interesting point. On the one hand, if you were going to do this, it might make sense to consolidate all of it in one department. But if you move some to Treasury and some to Health and Human Services and
right.
these things are still accomplished in the federal government, then maybe it's not as bad as it sounds. And I also just want to reiterate something you alluded to. Not only is 90% of education funded at the state and local level, but issues about curriculum are local issues. So if you think, oh, the federal government is controlling what our kids learn, no, they're not. It's done at the state
no.
and local level. So this is not maybe going to be as dramatic a change as to what the kids learn, but also it's not going to be as proactive as maybe some people want. If you think
exactly.
that we're going to change the textbooks in front of the kids because of this, it's already been in the hands of local school boards.
Exactly. I think if there's one question, like, for example, I mentioned Title I schools. So this is the funding that goes to these low-income areas. Will there be as much oversight as there is now? So people who get that funding or have students that go to those schools are concerned because they say, well, if you leave it up to the states to decide how that's going to be distributed, and there's no federal oversight, whether it's a federal Department of Education or some other department of the government down the road, then what do they decide to do with the money? And do they make the decisions? Because if you remember, the reason this came in to begin with was actually before a federal Department of Education was created. It used to be part of what was then the Department of Health, Education, and Welfare, which was the department that preceded the Department of Education. And they started the Title I programs during the Civil Rights era in the 60s. To help low-income students. So this was already being federally administered, and if it's not in the future, that's where some of the concern comes up from the civil rights point of view. Are people getting the money that deserve it, and is it being handled the right way in all the states?
It does make you wonder, why are we doing this at all? There's only about 4,500 Department of Education federal employees, some of whom are fired and have now been asked to come back to work because it's a yo-yo and they don't know what the heck they're doing. But why are we doing this at all? And in an era where we need to be as competitive as we can with the really smart kids in China, you would like to see some federal guidance about how well are we doing. The Department of Education does gather education data, and they'll let us know, are fifth graders up in math, or do we have enough STEM kids? That's one of the things DOE does.
Yes, that's a good point. I remember back in the Obama administration, they did some of that in terms of incentives, how the federal government was going to distribute the money too, based on some of that data that they were gathering. I think, you could definitely make an argument. I don't know if it's the right argument. Nobody knows the correct answer as to why we're not competitive. My guess is that we are if you compare some states to other countries, but if you compare all 50 together to other countries, it puts us in a tougher position because we're already so decentralized. You could make an argument that more centralized control of education would make us more competitive because the countries who are performing better, generally speaking, have more centralized control than we do. But, I don't know. And we don't know if that would work or not in this country culturally and all the rest of it. So I think what's going on here, to answer your question from the beginning, is that there's a lot of politics. This administration came in making promises it's trying to keep, and in many ways, compared to other administrations, it's doing just that. So if it says it's going to do something, they want to make sure they're going to do it. So they promise to do this or try to do it, so they're going to do it. And it's kind of checking off the box in that front. And I think we have to look bigger picture and ask ourselves questions about when Trump does something, it sounds like he's doing so much, but is he really? For example, when DOGE makes cuts, are those cuts really making a dent? Or, are they just in some cases for show? Could be both. Same thing in this situation. Is it really going to make a difference in our education policies and outcomes for our students, or is he just keeping a promise to conservatives of doing something he said he would do in the campaign? Could be both. We'll see.
I will, in the next half hour, play back how some of those town hall meetings are going. But remember, it's your local congressman or woman who has to vote on this, and we'll tell that side of the story in the next half hour. Connell, always nice to talk to you, my friend.
All right, John. Take care.